everyone, for being here. I'm going to take the mic for a minute to just introduce our next guest teacher, who's no stranger here. She's on twice a week. She's on Tuesdays, and also on Saturday. And once a month, she's on at 8 o'clock Saturday night. And this is that once a month, second Saturday of the month. And her topic tonight is the joyful way to radical forgiveness without healing the past or controlling thoughts. Without further ado, turning this mic over to you, Cindy Tevens.
Trying again. How's this? Any sound? Ah, okay, great. All right. Thanks for joining me tonight, everybody. Yes, we're going to discuss joyful radical forgiveness. This is in the trenches, actual transformative embodiment, and a switch from attachment to the ultimate forgiveness of the realization that what you thought never happened. It's absolutely stunning. And when it happens to a very deep degree, quite often what happens is there's a tremendous amount of energy released in the form of laughter. Laughter and shock, and it's irreversible. To do this, what we need to do is to become aware of the three powers that we were born with. So the number one power is the power of awareness, which you can't do anything about, you can't turn off, you don't have to do anything for. It's completely and absolutely free, and it never leaves you. You can notice it just by noticing sounds, not just my voice, but other sounds in the house or wherever you are. How effortless is it to hear sounds? You don't have to do anything. Just recognizing it is enough. The second power you were born with is the power of your attention. Now, for the most part, people's attention has been on autopilot, and it just jumps from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. But much like your breathing, which goes on autopilot, it can also be taken control of, conscious control of. And I can ask everybody in this room to have an experience of that just by asking you, are you feeling your left foot right now? Go ahead and type in there if anybody was feeling their left foot before I mentioned it. Anybody feeling it now after I mentioned it? Okay, we got... Yeah. Right. So, nobody was really feeling their left foot before I mentioned it. So, what happened? Had your foot stopped feeling? No. Your foot hadn't stopped feeling. But you weren't aware of it. Yes, you weren't focusing attention on it. That's exactly sort of it. That's not the whole story, but that is largely the problem. So let me demonstrate a little bit further. Can you feel the top of your head? Not with your hand, just sense into the top of your head. Become aware. If anybody can do that, just give me a yes in the window here. Good. Okay. Now, can you become aware of your right shoulder? You might feel the clothing on your shoulder. Just thank you. Okay. So, yeah, people can do that. Good. So now what happened to your foot? Usually this brings a bit of laughter about because people realize that they lost their foot. Not literally, but they weren't focusing attention on it, and so they lost it. And typically what we try to do to be aware of something, there's some giggling there. What we try to do to be aware of something is we focus our attention because we think that's the way to do it, because that's the way we've been taught since we were children. Round about age where you learned to read is when it really got narrow. You were taught to focus, put your head here, put your eyes here, and basically shut everything else out in your experience. When I first learned this, or had this pointed out to me, I didn't think it was possible to read something while taking in your peripheral vision. I just thought that was impossible. So then I picked up a book, and I was shocked. Oh my God, you can read at the same time as take in your peripheral vision. Now, because you haven't been doing that all your life, you might read a little more slowly. But it is possible. You see, I didn't think it was possible. So, let me ask you this. When you sense into your feet, wherever they are, just do that now. And then sense into the top of your head. And then back to your feet. Did that feel like a movement? You notice a kind of a movement? That movement is your power of attention. And it feels like a movement because it's really a narrowing. And when you narrow on something like my words or your thoughts about my words, then you can eliminate in your experience even a body part. Like your foot. Not actually, but in your experience. That's how powerful your power of attention is. And it's what causes what we call a blind rage. When you contract down into one bad thought feeling, you can literally become blind, deaf, and ignorant to everything else going on around you. The next most astounding thing that I learned is that you don't have to focus to take in something. In fact, it's the least effective way of doing it. To prove this, just become aware of your feet again, and now become aware of the top of your head at the same time. If you're finding this difficult, it's because you're trying to focus and narrow attention from one to the other, and you can't do that simultaneously. In order to do this, you have to relax. You have to open attention and become aware of your feet and the top of your head at the same time. And then take in your peripheral vision at the same time. And notice your breath moving in and out at the belly at the same time. What do you notice when you do that? Anybody? Expansion, yes. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Lighter? Mm-hmm. Anything else? Everything else stops. Seems like everything else stops. Some people sometimes say that there's nothing going on. Some people will call it boring. Those people are so used to being in their heads that if all of your life is lived in the stream of thinking, then it will seem boring. But the body mind loves to do this. What you'll notice is it may seem very quiet. Anybody experience quiet? As you feel your feet, the top of your head, take in your peripheral vision and notice your breath moving in and out? Yes, good. It's quiet. Why? What's absent? Head thinking, yes. Thoughts, chatter, yeah. So what we've done is we've taken away your power of attention, which is very powerful. We've taken it away from focusing it on the stream of mental thinking and brought it into the rest of your experience, which is always going on. I call this coming to your senses. Literally and figuratively. There is an immediate release when you do this. And you are open to clarity and wisdom that you didn't otherwise have when you don't do this. So when I'm working with someone and I ask them to come to their senses, this is what I want them to do. If you start feeling bad in any way, shape, or form, fear, anger, judgment, if anything arises for you, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to realize this feels bad. It can't be true. It's not what I want. And the first thing to do is to ask yourself, what do I want? I know what I don't want. What do I want? And the second thing to do is to come to your senses in order to answer this. Because otherwise, all of your power is in your stream of thinking, and it's just driving it around and around and around. So this week, we started a conversation that we couldn't finish because we ran out of time, and we spontaneously began to demonstrate what I call alchemy, which is seven powerful questions that shifts your state, changes your perspective, and turns your world around. So I think if we can continue on with that conversation, I think we can tonight because the person that we started with, I do believe, is in the room, but I'm just going to ask if we have permission to proceed with that tonight or not. And if we do, come forward, and if we don't, that's fine as well. So I'll just wait a moment and let you think about that. I'm not going to mention any name in case that person doesn't want to come forward, and that's fine. And it looks like that may be the case right now. So then I will just proceed without, perhaps that person is not listening at the moment either. So if at any point you would like to come forward and play the joyful way to radical forgiveness with me, I'm certainly open to that. Otherwise, I will continue on with talking about how to do this. And of course, talking about it is nowhere near as good as actually doing it. You can talk about things till you're blue in the face. You know, I used to hear a lot of talk about God, a lot of ideas and beliefs about God and concepts of God, and even the name God is a concept. And it wasn't good enough for me. I didn't want a concept. I wanted much, much, much more. I wanted it all because it made sense. If this were true, why can't I have it all? And right here and right now. Thank you, Dove, for sharing that spontaneous love of God. God is to be experienced at all times, when you're feeling love and when you're not feeling love, when you're attached to something and when you're not attached to something. Okay, so I'm going to go forward then with your three powers, the power of awareness, your power of attention, and your third power I haven't spoken about yet. And that's your power of interest, the thing that you are the most interested in is what you get. no matter what. For example, everybody here knows what skin and bones feels like, right? So if you took your right hand and you touched your left hand, and I encourage you to experience this, because, like I said, experiencing is far better than thinking. So take your right hand and touch your left hand and just feel skin and bones, and you know what skin and bones feels like, right? Anybody here doing this with me? Give me a yes. Okay, thank you. Good. So you know what skin and bones feels like. Now, good. Now feel your hand with love. Notice any changes? Is it different? Might take you a moment to have this experience, and that's fine. Is it just the same as feeling skin and bones? No, it's different. Yeah, it's gentler. Mm-hmm. You might notice some love. You might have some beliefs holding you back from experiencing very much love, like, oh, it's just my hand, or it's just me. It's not my partner. All these limitations that aren't true, yet we experience them. But if you noticed just a little difference, that's proof. Nice, softer, yes. That's proof of your power of interest. So it's the same action, one hand touching another, but your interest was in skin and bones versus love. Nothing else changed. So if you are most interested in a perceived problem, that's what you're going to experience. So trying to forgive somebody mentally is very weak. It's like trying to take a bad feeling and push a good thought on top of it. All the while, it doesn't feel genuine. You can feel like a fraud, and actually, it can even hurt. I've had this experience. It can even hurt more. Is kind of a visceral pushing this good thought, but I feel really bad. Because you haven't released the belief that says you have to feel bad. So to just try and think a nice thought doesn't take you very far. And not only that, it keeps resurfacing again and again and again. So what can you do? Using your three powers, your power of awareness, it's always there for you. Your power of attention, you know what that is now. And your power of interest. So, say someone says to you, you never clean the house well enough. You never clean the house well enough. Unless someone out there wants to come up with a better idea. I have trouble finding problems nowadays because I don't experience them. So if someone wants to throw maybe a common problem forward, maybe we can play with that. Anybody have an idea? Something you've been told that you didn't like? You felt judged? Maybe. Because they're all the same. Everybody has always experienced the same feeling of being judged. Suffering is the same for everyone. It's universal. So is the joy and love. Come on, somebody out there must know of a problem. I'll have to make one up and it won't be that good. Let's see. Say someone says you always yell at them. I don't like your tone of voice. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. There's one. Oof. You'll never amount to anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you don't understand, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. You don't understand, you don't get it. Okay. I'm going to go with the first one. Say someone says to you, you'll never amount to anything. And you feel bad. You maybe don't know right away. You might have some thoughts about what that's about, but maybe you don't know fully what that bad feeling is about. You just know you have a bad feeling. So in that moment, what do you want? That's the first question. In that moment, what do you want? It's going to be the opposite of what you don't want. So what you don't want is that person to what? To think, yeah, you don't want that person to disapprove. Okay. You don't want that person to disapprove of you. Good. So you feel disapproved, not accepted, rejected maybe. So what do you want? Anybody know? Sometimes it takes a while the first time you ask and try to answer this question. Because we've been really good at suffering. Yes. Approval. Respect. Yeah. And feel good enough. Is that as good as it gets? Feel... that you're okay. All is well. Things like that. Okay. So, in that moment, you're feeling bad, and then you stop, and you ask yourself, what do I want? I want that person's approval and respect. And I want to feel good enough. Second question. How does it feel? Well, we've already got one feeling answer, which is good. So at this point, you come to your senses, feel into the body, feel your feet, the top of your head, take in your peripheral vision. How does that person's approval and respect feel? Because you do know. You see, this is a non-verbal answer now. It's a feeling in the body. There might be words that come and describe it, and that's fine. But there is an energy and a feeling in the body, and that is the key. To tap in to that feeling. Okay, we see nothing to prove comes up. State that positively. How do you state that positively? When you answer these questions, it has to stay in the positive. So instead of nothing to prove, what words come to mind? Already perfect, free. If you keep looking, you'll get a really good answer to, instead of nothing to prove, there'll be another group of words that will be, yes, that's it. So it feels respected. Perfect. You're perfect. These are the words that might come up. That you are perfect. You're respected. And you have this person's approval. And sometimes, you know, it has to be the person in question. Because the feeling of your parents' approval is different from the feeling of your partner's approval. So if this were partner, I would be saying, how does your partner's approval feel? Okay? This is your parents' approval. How does your parents' approval feel? There's a different flavor. And so once you recognize that feeling in the body, you recognize that it feels better, doesn't it? Can anybody find that? When you answer this question, how does that person's approval feel? The moment you put your attention on what you do want, you start to feel better. Because you've taken it off of what you don't want, and because you're getting what you do want. So is this what you prefer to feel? Anybody? You noticing it? Be better if we actually spoke in person, but I think this is doable. As you start to notice how having that person's approval feels, you might remember times, incidences, events, things that happened, and that's okay. Allow them as long as it supports the answer. You keep your attention on the answer. And once you have that feeling of already perfect approval, respect, how does respect feel in the body? Everybody knows that, eh? Notice that's what they said. When you look back on the situation, now what do you think of it? First of all, it really doesn't touch you like it used to. And as you're feeling respect and respected, you can't be disrespected. Never really occurred. Yes, the disrespect. You realize now it never occurred. So, who or what did you need to have this? Anything? Anybody? Nothing. Nobody. You just needed to look within for respect. And when you do that, you find it. Yes, doesn't have to charge. Was that supposed to be change? You don't have to change anything anymore? Oh, it doesn't have a charge. Yes, that's right. There's no charge anymore. Thank you. That was a very good way of wording it. When you first look back, there's no charge. As you're feeling respected. And you don't even disrespect that person. How can you disrespect someone when you're feeling respected? And respectful. And respect. So now looking back on them, what access to wisdom do you have about them now? Other potential possibilities rather than simply they're disrespecting you or not approving of you. How do you see them differently? How do you see the situation? Charge anymore? Neutral. Yeah. Neutral. So they said that. Do you have to do anything? Doesn't mean anything. You don't have to do anything. You can let them say what they say. So what? Exactly. So what? You might have so what, and you might have, Now, looking on them, they can't be feeling good, right? For this kind of a statement? Yes. Yeah, they can't. There's something going on for them. Maybe you don't know what it is. You don't need to, and it can't be feeling good. Yeah. Maybe, exactly. Now you see wisdom comes forward. Other possibilities. They weren't fear. What else? What else could possibly be true from this state? This respectful, respected, respect state, looking at them. They felt unappreciated, maybe. Maybe they were trying to help you. Yes, they're definitely not feeling respected or respectful or respect, right? Mm-hmm. Because if they did, this wouldn't come out of them. So they've got an attachment going on and they've got a bad feeling. Yes, they were scared for you. Yes, they didn't want something bad to happen. Yes, see the wisdom that comes forth from this. So they were taking care of you, weren't they? Not in a very resourceful kind of way. But when you're feeling bad, you don't have access to resources. You don't have access to intelligence. You don't have access to wisdom, which we now have looking at this from a respected, respectful, respecting place. So you can come up with all kinds of other possibilities than your first bad mind read that they don't approve and that they're disrespecting you or rejecting you. When your power of attention is not contracted down onto one little tiny bad thought feeling, you have access to a huge realm of possibilities. You can turn the whole conversation inside out. Because feeling this way, how do you act? You may not know because it's not happening now, but you know it's completely different from how you would have acted when you were feeling disapproved of, rejected, or judged, or disrespected. You know it'll be different. And I promise you, yes, I promise you that something will come out of your mouth that you wonder where it came from. It will be inspired. It will be holistic. It will be come from a grounded place. It may come on a dime. Yes, you could possibly extend love to them. You know, my mother used to phone me once a week or so, and the moment I picked up the phone, I would hear, blah, 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 and I've done something wrong. Oh, I'm in trouble. Oh, these were the mind reads. This was my narrowed, painful suffering that I would habitually do, and then we'd inevitably have an argument. And the call wouldn't go well at all. One day, when she called, and there was that, bah, 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 I was able to turn this around. And instead of habitually responding the way I habitually responded, I just asked her, "Are you okay? You don't sound okay. Are you okay?" And then she said, "No, I'm not," and broke down and started to tell me what was going on for her. Everything she told me had nothing to do with me. I was in the presence of someone suffering, but her suffering had nothing to do with me. If you make it about you, that's what you'll get. Fear. So this is the power of alchemy, which is basically using your three powers you were born with, coming to your senses, realizing what you don't want, and asking yourself what you do want. It will change everything. To the degree, even, make this your new habit. You will revert to innocence and purity of not knowing. You don't even have to have a good thought about someone's suffering. You can have no thought and be absolutely pure and open to whatever is. Someone once bought me a new running shirt, and this was a long time ago, and I thought, "Oh, you were thinking of me. How nice of you. How kind. How, you know, you're thinking of me. Wow. And then the next day I went out and I put on my old running shirt, and I was, "Well, you know, I will." And then I discovered that shirt wasn't bought because someone was thinking about me. That shirt was bought because they hated my old shirt. So my whole, "Oh, you love me, isn't that kind, isn't that nice," mind read was all an illusion. You see, not just suffering is an illusion. Everything we imagine to be, good or bad, is an illusion. The only way you can know somebody else's truth is to ask them. Like they know it, but you can have an understanding. And that would be true intimacy. Being absolutely open in the moment to whatever is without any preconceived judgments or ideas or mind reads. This happened recently with my roommate. I had brought a table up from the garage to put out on the porch. And I wasn't doing it right now. I was going to do it later. I just wanted to move the table up one floor. So I put it down on a chair with intention to go back and finish the job later. A little while later, she said to me, "Did you put that on the chair so that nobody could sit there?" And my immediate response was complete and absolute innocence. "Nope." And then I said, "But thanks for checking your mind," was complete and absolute innocence, because people who know me know that I talk about mind reads, and I like to clear them up if anybody has any. And in retrospect, I was thinking back that she could well have, that could have been sarcasm. That could have been all kinds of things. To this day, I don't know what it was. And I don't care. You know, if there's a problem with my response, I'll hear about it and I'll deal with that then. But my response was so innocent that there couldn't be a problem with it. Mind readers are innocent? Not all. If you think you're the thinking mind, then you go around believing your mind reads to be true. And that is a lack of innocence. Children don't judge anything. Very young children. They're taught to judge. We're not born judging. We're not born fearing. You were born a perfect blank slate, and you still are. The only thing that's going on is that mind does what it's supposed to do. The brain does what it's supposed to do. It offers you a thought. And then you choose the thought. So the brain habitually puts thoughts out. Thoughts are not the problem. It's your third power. What are you most interested in? And if you're feeling bad, you're most interested in a bad thought, and it's not true. You could be most interested in a good thought, and it may not be true too. But it's more beneficial, it's more wholesome, and it's more open. If you want to know someone else's absolute truth, the only way is to ask them. And it's the least aggressive, non-separative way. If you really, truly need to know for some reason. So yes, what you feel, you project. And you believe you see it outside of yourself. So when someone says you'll never amount to anything, if you feel disrespected, you're going to believe that that person is causing the disrespect, that bad feeling, and it's not. It's not them. It's sort of like going to work and just having your hair cut and someone saying to you, you cut your hair. Now, depending on what you believe about that person, whether you like them or not, you may think that they hate your hair and you're going to feel bad. And you'll suffer. And it's not them hating your hair, it's you hating your hair. Because all they said was, you cut your hair. If, on the other hand, you like the person, or you trust or respect them, you may think that they like your hair, and now you're going to feel good about your hair. But all they said was, you cut your hair. If you think that there was a meaning behind their words and you really care to know, you should inquire. Otherwise, you can just hear with the purity of a child these words and have absolutely no reaction. Anybody that ate vegetables would never amount to anything. Old beliefs, huh? Some we've inherited and some we have chosen not to inherit. Thank God for that, because generations have been told and sold a lie that things, people, or events make you happy or unhappy. And it's not true. You were born amounting to something. You don't need to eat vegetables. It's your birthright. You are pure and absolute. From the day before you were born, actually. Being eternal and infinite. This is just a temporary experience. Everything comes and goes. Here. In this universe. None of it is permanent. Thank God. Or it'd be boring. Imagine if the scent of a rose didn't come and go. And all you ever smelled was the scent of a rose. In which case, you wouldn't even have the scent of a rose. So change is necessary to have experience, and there's nothing wrong with it. But we have tended to resist change. And that's where the suffering comes in. So we imagine that people are hurting us. Then we feel bad. And then we think our bad feeling is caused by them. It's a vicious circle. And it's completely unnecessary. And you can radically and quickly undo it in a moment just by coming to your senses and asking yourself, what do I want? What do I want? Because if you didn't want something, there'd be no problem. Someone could say to you, you'll never amount to anything. If you don't want anything from that person, is there a problem? If there's no sense of a bad feeling, is there a problem? Nope. The words have come, the words have gone. You remained. If if there's any questions on that, I wouldn't mind fielding them. If anybody has a question. See, what happens is you go through this process. You have a shift. And then you think you're done and you go away. And then some remaining belief raises its ugly head. And then you think, it doesn't work. You have to do this again and again and again and again and again and again until you uproot the false belief. And then it will stop coming. So the question, what do you do when an unpleasant person crosses your path? I don't recognize unpleasant people anymore. Lemon flavored popsicle, you nailed it. You figure out how you are that unpleasant. Yes. There is no such thing as an unpleasant person. There is an unpleasant feeling. There is an unpleasant thought that you're experiencing. I call them thought feelings because they arise together. So you cross the path of someone and something happens. What do you want? Yes, this is what you do, Jay. You ask yourself. See, this is not suppressing it. You're recognizing it. You're recognizing an unpleasant feeling. And you ask yourself, what do I want? I want that person to be pleasant. Okay. How does being pleasant, how's that person being pleasant feel? And you have to ask this question in this way. You have to end with the word feel. Because there's no more thinking. Now it's about feeling. How does that person being pleasant feel? And you start to have a pleasant feeling. So right there, you've killed the unpleasant person. Yeah, I can share an example from just today, actually, although it's not quite the same, but because I don't have problems anymore. I was driving down the road just as I left the house, and I saw a ball going back and forth across the road. I couldn't see the people playing until I got close enough, and I was slowly approaching. And then the ball stopped, and there was a young boy and an older man. And I was feeling good and smiling and just thankful that they stopped the ball so that I could go. And I looked at the man and he looked at me and he was not smiling. And that triggered a memory from the past a long time ago of another person who I, a long time ago, used to think was ugly. And that thought flashed in my mind. But I don't believe these thoughts anymore. So that's where it ends for me. For other people, they would believe he's ugly. Ugh, he didn't smile, he's mean, he's ugly, whatever, and they would, you know, generate a bad feeling. Whereas I would notice that that thought came from the past, a memory from the past that has nothing to do with right here and now. Yes, Teddy. Every time you feel bad, everywhere you are the cause of that bad feeling. It doesn't exist outside of you, or you couldn't feel it. I had a client who was on vacation, and she was speaking to me as she was floating on a boat, looking over the lovely blue ocean, and she started to feel bad because she was going home the next day. So there you are, over the lovely blue ocean, feeling bad. Did the ocean make you feel bad? No, the ocean didn't make you feel bad, and the ocean didn't make you feel good. Exactly. So these are the habitual ways we've been taught that vacations make you feel good, relationships make you feel good, houses, cars, jobs. And, you know, a lot of people will agree with me. They'll say, nope, that's true. Until something happens and they lose the house or they lose their relationship. And then they feel bad. They still don't have to feel bad. It's not the relationship leaving that makes you feel bad, or the relationship ending. It's not the loss of the house that makes you feel bad. This is your infinite eternal treasure within. It's always there, available to you, no matter what happens outside of you. So we didn't demonstrate tonight. So if you are interested in participating or listening into a real live demonstration, I do hold them on my membership website at inneralcove.com. And it's fascinating because even as you hear somebody else go through the process, you can make the inner shift yourself, because all suffering is the same. So I invite you to come and join one of my teleclasses and have your own powerful inner shift to realize that it never happened, to realize the freedom that you inherently always are. What happened for me with this is I quit seeking the outside for anything. I was completely filled from within. Everything I ever wanted, I found within, infinitely, in the moment that it was wanted. I had no interest in the material world anymore whatsoever. Nothing was of interest. The only thing left, and it wasn't of this world, and that was to know directly the divine God or source, whatever you want to call it. Not as a thought, not as a belief, because none of that satisfied. I want to know just what is going on here. And after months of bliss and ecstasy beyond belief, which you're all capable of, experienced an explosion, no, a supernova of love in the woods that knocked me to my knees crying with love. And when I stood up and looked at the trees, I didn't see trees. I saw me as trees. Everywhere I looked, everything directly known and seen as me. The laughter was outrageous, uncontrollable, spontaneous. I laid in the snow laughing and crying, laughing and crying, laughing and crying until the sun went down. And an inner peace has never left, because the knowing the truth can never leave. The same truth is available to all of you right now. When you turn from the outside and look within, it's better than an ice cream cone. It's better than a car. It's better than a vacation. It's better than a partner. It's better than a child, right? Something happens when we were, you know, kids. You used to explore the body and what it was capable of, and you'd try this and you'd try that, and something happened a little later on where you quit trying. You quit exploring. You quit experimenting with this body-mind. And I think it probably happened about the time you experienced an orgasm for the first time. And you thought, whoa, that's as good as it gets. I got news. That's like holding the candle to the sun and saying, this is the greatest light. You are capable of far more joy, bliss, and ecstasy than you have lived or imagined. And in fact, it's been your imagination that has kept you from it. You imagine you can only feel so good. So you've limited your true potential just because everybody else does. I invite you to be curious. I invite you to explore. Push the limits as if there were any. Because you are unlimited. You are unlimited. Maybe next time we'll have someone who can work with me and actually demonstrate how this happens, because that's when you can really get a sense of the potency of what's possible for you. Until next time, enjoy the joy just because you can, for no other reason. Have an awesome week. Much love, light, blessings. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Cindy. That was really cool and really beautiful, and I really enjoyed it a lot. Hello, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to Saturday night.